Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 24, from the verse number 34 to the verse number 39. Let us read with the help of our Lord today. Matthew 24, 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noe were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noe entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's the short passage that I wanted us to read for the beginning of our meditation on the Word of God. And now let us take a moment for prayer and thanksgiving to our Lord. Lord God Almighty, our loving Heavenly Father, Thou art holy, and Thou art just, and Thou art the Savior, the only one that can and will save. We desire, O Heavenly Father, in our weak hearts to bow down, to bend low, and to worship Thee from the depth of our soul. O Lord God Almighty, Thou art worthy to receive worship and praise and adoration. Thou art worthy to receive honor and glory. Thou art worthy, O Heavenly Father, that we exalt and magnify Thy goodness and grace, and that we proclaim Thy gospel, that we herald Thy great judgment. O Lord, Thou art worthy in the first and foremost place that we obey Thee, that no commandment of Thine be too small for us that we can neglect it, nor too big for us that we give up before we start. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray for that way and that mode of worshiping Thy holy name, obedience. O gracious Lord, we pray for that kind of obedience that Thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is having. That kind of obedience that is willful, that rejoices in Thy goodness and Thy mercy, that rejoices in Thy righteous judgments, O God. That kind of obedience that is filled with understanding of and zeal for Thy fatherly will. That we also may, O Lord God Almighty, always say, Thy will be done. Knowing that in the end, all of that together works for good for those that love Thee. O grant us that holy, pure, heavenly love. Love without prejudice, love without false accusation, love without unjust condemnation, love without judging the law and criticizing the lawgiver, love that is filled with obedience, faithfulness, and zeal for Thy will. O Heavenly Father, give us the mind of Christ, that we be always mindful of that one thing, Thy will to be done in our heart, in our mind. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, great is Thy love and Thy faithfulness. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, for the sake of Thy love, for the sake of Thy goodness and mercy, In the name of Thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the crucified and the risen Lord of our souls, we pray that Thy will be done. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom fill our hearts and our home, as temporary that home as it is. Lord, may the voice of gladness and joy, joy of Thy salvation, gladness of Thy deliverance from sin, may that voice of praise and honor to Thy holy name echo in the tents of the redeemed ones. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, proclaim Thy gospel. Magnify the name of Thy beloved Son. Glorify Thy Son, O Lord God of majesty. Manifest the power of Thy Spirit. Deliver Thy people from sin. Unite Thy children's heart in Christ Jesus to Thy name's glory and honor eternally. Amen. So, we are living in the time of a generation that is still going on since the days of our Lord and Savior's preaching, walking in the flesh and teaching His disciples. Since the beginning of this period of time, it's still the same generation. On the other hand, we see that there is a generation that started with the fall of the mankind, with the first sin, and then that generation accelerated through Cain, and that generation continued until the great flood, and the great flood came and destroyed that first world. How did that generation survive or revive or resurrect itself again a short time after the flood? The people are sinful as ever before. The Lord said to the Hebrews, to the scribes and Pharisees and rulers in Jerusalem, that all the righteous blood that has been shed since the bloodshed of the blood of righteous Abel until the last one that was recorded in the scripture known to them at that time, it shall be required. They will give an answer before God for all the evil. And one could wonder and question, what has a poor Pharisee to do with the bloodshed of Abel? He is not even blood descendant of Cain. Well, I think what the Lord is revealing to us, that all those that worship Satan, all those that live in sin, are one generation, one kind of people, the people that are sinners continually and stubbornly refuse the word of God and just love their sin more than anything else. They're all one generation. Now, all those that would rather suffer for the word of God than turn away from the Lord or turn against the Lord, those are the members of the other generation, the generation of the redeemed ones, the generation that follow the Lord, the generation that is sensitive sufficiently to the word of God that even if they will sin occasionally, they will be so reasonable, they will repent for their sins and turn to the Lord again and follow the Lord. The Lord says here in the verse number 34, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. The signs of the last times are being fulfilled ever since the our Lord was on the cross. When the Lord died on the cross, the earth was shaking. And ever since that time, frequently the earth is shaking. And it's still shaking today. But the day is coming when the prophecy will be fulfilled that says that all of the earth shall shake violently. The earth will, what is that English word? Stagger and stumble like a drunkard. And the earth will fall and will not rise again. So, that is going on. Ever since the darkness fell on the earth at noontime, when the Lord was completing or has completed the work of our salvation, it is finished. There was darkness, and darkness was lifted up, for the work was finished. And since that time, occasionally we experienced on this earth eclipses. The sun was darkened from time to time, and the moon was darkened from time to time. And there were signs in heaven above and on the earth beneath and so on. But all of that seemed not to be turning the hearts and the minds of the people to the Lord. But I'm not. Perhaps I'm too selfish. And I'm not that much disturbed by the unbelief of those that do not believe. What burdens me so much is that those that say they believe, they still don't believe. But there is something that is worse than anything. I know I believe, and still I don't. That's a terrible thing. It's an awful state of the heart, seeing that there are things that I believe I should get rid of, and I know I can get rid of with the help of God, and yet I cannot. And I wonder if I'm too quick to give up that attempt of changing for better, and too quick to quote or to think about the words that the Lord said to Paul the Apostle, "My grace is sufficient for all your needs, and my power is revealed in thy weakness perfectly." The Lord is teaching us, revealing to us how big, how strong, how colossal His word is. The Lord is revealing the grandeur of His will. He says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." If we turn back, all the way back to the book of Genesis, and we read through the book of the patriarchs, you know, their names and the years of their life on earth and so on. And I remember there was one that prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh God, that thou wouldst preserve me, that I sin not against thee." That one was not planning big buildings. He was not accumulating, or at least that's not recorded, that he was accumulating great riches. He was not multiplying wives and children. He asked for one thing: "Oh, that thou wouldst keep me from sinning against thee." And the next verse says, and God gave him that, what he asked. What is that faith? that is asking and receiving, seeking and finding and knocking until it's open. What is that? Where is that faith? I could almost say like Gideon, when the angel of God came and said, God is with the almighty man of valor. And Gideon said, who, me? God is with me? Where are the great deeds and the testimonies of the almighty God that we heard from our fathers? But now God is far away. He has forsaken us. And now we live in misery. And the angel said, go in that spirit and do the will of the Lord. What was it? What was first? No, the Lord did not ask from Gideon first to gather all the armies of Israel, to get all the people on fire for the Lord. You know that modern quote, evangelistic unquote idea, which is most often hiding greed for more money and fame of a certain man and promoting different occults and so on. But the angel said to Gideon, you have faith, make it public. Don't keep it for yourself. Go, destroy the altar of Baal. Number one, destroy the altar of Baal. You just told the angel Gideon, you just said, you remember the testimonies of the fathers, you remember the wonderful deeds of the Lord, you know everything. Did your fathers worship at the altar of Baal when they witnessed the great miracles God performed? Destroy that altar. Stop worshiping an idol and turn to the Lord. And so Gideon did. He was afraid. I would be too. He was afraid. So he did it at night. And the Lord led Gideon, and the people followed Gideon, and they had a great victory over the enemies, and the land was liberated. And then, back to the altar of the Lord. No! Gideon made his own altar. Gideon made his own image and led the people into a different idolatry. It's not worship of Baal. No, no, not that bad. No, much better. He is not going to be an idol worshiper. He is not going to be heathen. He is not going to be Gentile. He will be apostolic. He will be Nazarene. He will be Mennonite, he will be this or that or any other knight, just not the true light. He will not be a Christian. He will not be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Here's an image, and so we have today. Oh, I remember when I was a child that those that were older in the faith, in that group and that church where my parents were part of, and I was for quite a time, and they kept saying, let us not forsake what we have received, just keep what we have received. And what they meant, not the image of the Father, which is Christ, not the face of the Father revealed in Christ, but the image they received from their older people. That generation of believers that were before them. That's what we want. Did they keep it? No. They did not even realize how much they changed. The only thing that we need is not to be like the preceding generation. I don't need to be like my dad and mom and like my minister and my pastor or whoever was there. No, I need to imitate Christ and the apostles. back to the Bible, not to keep what we have received. What we have received from the preceding generation of believers could be perhaps good for the beginning. Maybe not quite good, but let's say good for the beginning. And once we know the Bible, search the Scripture and find the will of God and follow the Lord. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And Gideon could have said to the angel, Lord, but the altar of Baal is the only altar that we have here. If we destroy that altar, the people will stop worshiping. That's going to be even worse. The people need something to worship. No, the people don't need something to worship. The people need God to worship. Not an idol. And today we have the same. Oh, in that church, you know, there are still some people repenting. And they still get converted. Converted to what? To be a little bit worse than you. They repent of what? Of not taking advantage of the earthly comfort and benefits that you offer. But the Lord is still repeating, heaven and earth shall pass away. All the people look, it's true that the earth is shaking from time to time, but it's standing here for so long, thousands of years, and those that promote the modern religion, they say millions and millions of years. The earth is here, and the matter is not destroyable. The matter can only change. You cannot destroy the matter, you know. The elements, they can change, but you cannot destroy them, you cannot create them. Well, the Bible is telling the opposite. God did create the matter from nothing, and He can destroy it and turn it to nothing. Well, let's wait and see. And we'll find out. And so many will find out when it's too late. The Spirit of God is greater than any created things. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word of God shall remain. Because our Lord and Savior said, the words that I tell you are the Spirit and the truth. Next verse tells us, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. About this verse there were many arguments, many discussions, and I don't think I should take much time to go through that. Perhaps in our free fellowship, perhaps in our Bible studies, or perhaps when we get together on the internet, we can talk about that. But I will just take it as the fact, as it is. That day and that hour is another great mystery. Is that the only one? No, there are many mysteries. There are many things that we don't know. Perhaps one mystery that most of us don't want to know is, why, when I know the will of God, why do I do something else? Why? Don't I believe that God will judge? Don't I believe that the Word of God is the best for me or the only good for me? Why do I another thing? Isn't that a mystery? Yet how many people are digging out around that mystery to find out why and to root it out and change that? And yet, of that day and that hour, I think as soon as the Lord said, no man knows that, the people started scratching and saying, why? We want to know. As soon as God says you cannot know this, we want to know exactly that. And the Lord says, this is what you need to know. Oh, we don't want to know that. That tells exactly which spirit is working in the heart and mind of the people. The spirit of disobedience. But I would ask another question. Not when the day and the hour will be, But what good is in that, that the Lord kept that from us? That He decided that no one will know. And our Lord and Savior, as He is leading in everything and beating down every enemy, leading in every battle, He is leading in this battle also. He said, the Son does not know either. I don't know that hour. Our Lord Jesus, the Son of the Almighty God. And He says, the Son does not know. And He is not fretting at all. He is quite content. He is happy with that. The Father has kept that in His power. And the Son is praising the Father and rejoicing, oh, how great and how glorious, how majestic is my Father. He knows and nobody else knows. Father, thy will be done. That's a Son, or that's the Son. What good is in it? You know what I think? I think that if the Lord told us the coming of the Son of Man is going to be exactly on the 1st of January, first minute and first second of 2000. You know, that no one would get ready. Just no one would get ready. Because the people don't know how to get ready for the Lord. The Lord told us to be ready now. And when we want to get ready for the coming of the Lord, then we start seeing how much we need and how much is there to be done and how much to change and how much to repent of, how much to overcome, how much to pray and cry to the Lord, oh God, save me, I'm a sinner. And the sinful mind and heart of the people would think, oh, let's look. Today is the 6th of June, 1999. Oh, I have almost 6 months until the coming of the Lord. So, a few more months. Oh, I mean, I'm going to live in sin for another month. Okay, I will repent in October or November. And then October and November came and, if I start now, there's going to be a lot of suffering and difficulties until December 31st, midnight. So, another month, you know. And then 3 more days, and then 3 more hours, and then Satan will say, oh, remember the thief on the cross? He repented that last moment. You don't have to suffer the other people mocking you and the other people persecuting you and hating you and so on. Just wait until that last moment. And when you see the stars falling down and the sun is dark and the moon disappeared, and then you quickly repent and say, Lord, save me. Stories. Lie. Another lie and another lie. Why do the people believe the lies? Because they love them. Because the heart and the mind of the people is sinful. Well, that's the people. Let them be the way they want to. Let's build the ark of our salvation. Let's keep working. But back to the other question. Why do I have such a struggle to do the will of my Lord? When I know something is His will, why is it so difficult to do it? Why do I make the cross when there is no cross? Why is my will cross to His and make everything or so many things a burden? You know what I think? I think we need more suffering. We need this house to burn down. We need some floods, we need some thunder, we need some lightnings, we need some sicknesses, we need destruction, terrible things to happen to us. Perhaps then, among all the people that call themselves the Israel of the New Testament, there will be at least four that will believe the Lord, like Daniel and his friends. But God only knows. I was thinking about that, what the Lord is saying in the epistle of Paul, whom I will have mercy upon, and whom I will harden. And then one of the following verses says, but then thou wilt say, why is he judging us? Who can withstand his will? Imagine how Satan can be rude and stand in the face against the Almighty God. I think he fully deserves the hell forever, and he will get it. I think he has it today.
Whenever there was a difficult plague, an unbearable plague, when there was something awful like the stinky frogs were all over Pharaoh's bed and over his throne, and when he sat down on the throne, he had to sit upon at least two or three slimy frogs. And when he wanted to lay down on his pillow, there was a bunch of frogs, and that was unbearable. Then his heart was softened, and Pharaoh asked for mercy. He asked for deliverance, and then Moses goes out and he spread his arms toward heaven and he called on the name of the Lord, and the Lord removed the frogs. Then the Pharaoh's heart was hardened. When God gave him respite, when God gave him deliverance, then he was hardened. Who is hardened by the mercy of God is surely on the way to hell. And who is softened only when there is hard pressure is not on the way of true repentance. You see, we should see the mercy of God in everything, even in the plagues that plague today's humanity. Even when I have to suffer, we should see that the will of God, every situation, all the time, always works for good to those that turn to the Lord with their whole heart. Yes, heaven and earth shall pass away, let alone all that man has created in his sinfulness, in his wickedness. But the word of God shall not pass away, it remains forever. So what happened in the days of Noah? Noah is building the ark. Noah is preaching, witnessing to the people. Noah is using all of his time. He is concentrating all of his efforts to do the will of the Lord. What are the other people doing? Well, I imagine their teachers and their leaders are telling them, "Oh, don't follow Noah. That's an occult. Yeah, he's an eccentric man. He's probably suffering schizophrenia or some other mania. You know, our educated people, our famous teachers, our professors, our scientists, our prophets, our priests, they're all united in one thing. There will not be any flood. No. After all, Noah does not even know the will of God. We do. We are educated. What can that ignorant man Noah know? Noah is building and building and building, and the weather is wonderfully nice. Not the slightest sign of the flood. At least I didn't find any evidence that there was any rain before the great flood. That there was one single sound of thunder before the great flood. That there was some shifting of the ground or moving of the parts of the earth before the great flood. Everything is quiet except the people. There was violence in the earth. And as the day of the great flood was coming near, more and more violence. First, the people violated the word of God. That's number one. That's the first thing they do. Then they violated the so-called natural laws. Now, the true natural laws are the laws of God. God has given the way of living to the birds, to the animals, to the humans, to the mammals, and so on. And they discovered that they can enjoy life in a different way. So every flesh has corrupted its way. There was immorality before the great flood as never before. Could we say that today there is immorality as never before? You see? Could we say that none of the false prophets was as great as Darwin? We already can say that none of the false prophets was as great and greatly false as Karl Marx. But could we say that none of the false prophets was as big and great and as influential as the people that are ruling this nation? Could we say something more? No false prophecy can be as destructive and threatening to my soul as the one that I believe. And if I believe a false prophecy, how can I know if it's false? If I believe it, it looks the true prophecy. How can we search our own heart? Well, there is again, only one thing. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And the word of God is inscribed, is written, is recorded here in this book, number one. And all through the creation, the whole universe is proclaiming the word of God. Are we rewriting our own Bible or reading one that somebody else has already modified? The word of God shall remain. Everything else will pass away. Noah is building the ark. Everything is getting ready. I don't know exactly how many years. Some people seem to believe that it's 120 and the others more than 100 and so on. But let's say it was 99 years and 99 days. I don't know. But in any case, that period of time, as long as it was, is coming to its end. And the people continued their own way of living. The Lord is not here. Apparently, it's my impression that the Lord is not focusing in His words on the unbelievers. The Lord did not say they multiplied their idols. The Lord did not say they were continuing in their blood vengeance and bloodshed and this and that, which seemed to be obvious that the people of Cain did. When was it Lamech? When he said that, "Hear me, ye wives of Lamech, I will kill a man for my bruise and a young man for my wound," and that kind of things, you know, if Cain will be avenged 7 times, then Lamech 70 times 7 or 77 times, just much more. He wanted to make his own record in wickedness. What? Is his suffering worth 70 times more than the suffering of any other man? What was his justice or his, quote, righteousness, unquote? Violence. I'll be stronger, I'll be bigger, and I'll do what I want. Well, it looks like he almost superseded his Lord. I think that his Lord was Satan himself. And Satan said, I will build my own throne and I will exalt myself above the stars of heaven. I'll be equal with the Most High. Satan wanted to be the same with God. I'll be equal. Oh, we hear about that equality nowadays so much. I mean, ever since first revolution on this earth was enacted or started rolling in its violence, the people are crying for equality. And you know what kind of equality they ask for? If I'm oppressed, I want equality. If you are oppressed, you better be quiet because I will oppress you more. That's the equality that they want. You know, I heard a few years back in this country when so many working people were without jobs and they were struggled to put the ends together, and the president at that time said, everything is in order, everything is wonderful. You know, it didn't bother him. He lost next election, and that's all right. God puts the people on the throne, and he puts them off the throne, and so on. But he also appointed a wicked man for an evil day. Everything is in the hand of God. But the equality that the people want reminds me of the cry from Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord said to Abraham, the cry from Sodom and Gomorrah reached up to heaven. And I'm going to see if everything is as bad as I heard. Now God is talking to Abraham in the language that Abraham can understand. And I wonder, what was that cry that reached up to heaven? Did Lot cry? Apparently he was very quiet. He didn't need to cry, just walk out. Get out of Sodom. But there was a cry. Those that were oppressed were crying. But when they were oppressing the others under them, then they were rejoicing. That kind of cry is against the righteousness and justice of the Almighty God. And he came and he judged. And that's all right. Is it all right that we say we all deserved it? Yes, we did. If the Lord did not give us a remnant or leave us a remnant, we would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. Everyone. It's not our goodness that turned our hearts to the Lord, but His. And not only His gentle goodness, but His mighty goodness. Thank God that He knocked down with a flash of light Saul of Tarsus. I don't think Saul would ever turn to the Lord on his own. I don't think any one of us would. Now back to Noah. Noah is working, and that waiting or working period of time is coming to its end. The ark is finished and the animals are coming in. I don't think Noah was running around and with a lasso or a net or somehow trying to catch the elephants and mosquitoes. No. I don't think so. At least we don't find, I didn't find anything like that in the scripture. The Lord says that Noah was to receive the animals into the ark. And the animals came. If the people around did not notice that flies are coming in and small birds are coming in and medium-sized birds are coming in and animals are coming in, but when the giraffe and elephant came in, they should have noticed. They should have seen something. How come they did not notice? Well, I think this way. they were eating and drinking. They didn't have time to look at the ark all the time. They were busy getting married and getting divorced. And they were building, and they were selling, and they were buying, and they were busy. The Lord does not say that these people were busy murdering one another, doing violence to one another. No, they just violated the word of God by focusing on the creature more than on the Creator. And so, the animals came in, all the food is stored in, all the tools, everything. The people in the ark are busy feeding the animals, cleaning the ark, doing... It's a big work to be done. And the people outside are eating and drinking. They just got married, or they will get married soon, and they have something very good to bring to the market, and they have something very important to get from the market, and the business is just going on. And the flood came. I wonder if at that time somebody said, I want to repent. I want to turn to the Lord. Is there more lumber? I want to build a little ark for me. Sorry. The flood is much faster. Much faster. The earth is shaking. And the water is coming from beneath. And the water is pouring from above. And the earth is falling apart. It was an awful situation. But in His wisdom, the Lord has appointed a ship to save the remnant, saved by grace. They were not saved on the tip of a mountain. You know why? The other people would come there too. Sin would continue. But it was an ark. It was a ship. It was a big ship. It was a ship that was sealed, closed, no entry. You cannot get in. There was a time, long time, a lot of patience. The flood came and destroyed the wicked world because their heart was hardened. They knew nothing until the flood came. Did not Noah tell them? Didn't he tell them everything? Did not they ask? How come they did not know? They didn't believe. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Did the Lord say much about His coming here? No, not much. He told mostly of the situation on earth, what the people did. The Lord did not say, I said a few words about the flood. I said more than what I found in the scripture. That the water was pouring from above, we know that. That's in the Bible. That the fountains of water beneath were open, broken open, we know that in the Bible. But I know something else today. If you have a strong well and you pump the water continuously for a long time, you know what happened to the soil around? It starts caving in. What do you think happened with the earth? When all the water gushed out, the earth sank down. There was a lot of change. The earth after the flood was different. Well, the Lord is telling us, as the days that were before the flood, in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, giving in marriage, until the very moment of the flood, until Noah entered into the ark, until the door was closed. As long as the door is open, they have more time. The moment the door is closed, can we get saved now? No. Why? Because you really don't want to get saved. If you wanted to get saved, you would have got saved long ago. Now, if the Lord somehow opened that ship, Noah's Ark, and let a bunch of people in, you know what they would have done? They would have destroyed the Ark. And everybody would die in the flood. How do I know that? Well, look. The angels pulled out of Sodom Lot, his wife, and their two daughters. Lot's wife turned back. Outside the city, that's where she died. She didn't want to go any further. Lot's daughters corrupted themselves in the mountain. You see, if the Lord told us, you walk out of this world and you live in a colony and I will save you, perhaps we would have do it more readily and easily than what we are doing today. But the Lord said, I don't want you out of the world. I want the world out of you. I want the worldly thinking, the worldly heart, the sinful heart and mind out of you, and I'll give you a new heart and new mind. The children of Israel left the land of Egypt in one night. But they made another dark night for themselves. 40 years in the wilderness, and still Egypt did not get out of their hearts. So they had to die. Our blessing and our benefit is if we die with Christ to the world today, that we also live with Christ in this world, but not according to the world, until the Lord's coming. For truly, the word of God will not pass. It will be fulfilled. Yes, heaven and earth shall pass away, but he that obeys the word of God shall remain. The true token and proof of our salvation is obedience. Everything else can only be illusion, self-deceit. May the Lord bless his word and prevail in our heart and in our mind. Surely our body will be used for God's purpose if our mind is enlightened by his truth and our heart filled with the Spirit of God's loving Lordship.